chapter 6 in the King James translation. Praise the Lord. I kind of like this casual feel today. This is kind of feeling kind of good up here. Amen. Bring on that snow. Amen. But in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 31, it says, Jesus said this, "Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? How shall we be clothed?" That's what a lot of people are asking nowadays. How am I going to be taken care of? He says, verse 32, "For after these things the Gentiles," or the heathen, "seek." They seek these things. "For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things." You are blessed. "He's know that you have need of all these things." And the things that he's talking about, of course, here are things that you eat, wear, the necessities of life, correct? We saw that. But here's the answer. Here is the solution in verse 33. This is a master key right here to unlock this year in 2015. It's still early. Amen. It's February 1st. Here is the master key to cause God's blessings and God's best to be attracted to you. Now, I remember when I was just a young fellow and I was in science class. And our teacher did an experiment, and he brought out this big magnet. I mean, this thing probably weighed 15, 20 pounds, this big magnet. And he had this little envelope, and he ripped it open. And I'll never forget this because I was probably in eighth or ninth grade. And he poured all these iron metal chips on the table there, you know. And I had no idea what he was doing. It looked like dirt to me. It was laying on the table. You know, there was a big pile of it, you know. And he said, "I want to show you something." And he was teaching us about the power of a magnet and so forth. And he brought this magnet over, and he held it up about this high off the table. He was, I mean, that far up. And every one of those, not one was left out, but every one of those iron peelings, is that what they call them, was just sucked right up and stuck to the magnet. I mean, instantly like that. You know what I mean? And I was just thinking about that. It made such an impression on me, the power of a magnet, how something's attracted to that magnet. Now listen, you are a blessing attractor.
Amen.
As a Christian, you have been redeemed from the curse of the law in Galatians chapter 3. If we're in Christ Jesus, the Bible says if you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed, you're an heir according to the promise. Well, how did God bless Abraham? Without going into great detail, Genesis chapter 13, Abraham was very rich. Say very rich.
Very
rich. In cattle and silver and gold. Amen. Someone says, well, that was spiritual blessings. That wasn't spiritual. There was spiritual, and that's not the only thing. We've always had the idea that the blessing is just spiritual. But it is in the spirit, but it attracts things in the natural. Amen? And the blessing, I said all that to say this, because you are in Christ Jesus, the blessing should be attracted to you. Now, for most people, they haven't heard that, okay? But we need to start expecting blessings to be attracted to us.
Amen?
Amen? The other day I was at the mall, I had to pick up something, you know, and I could see there was people waiting. They're waiting for people to walk out to get a parking spot. You know how they back up and then they get the, I walk in there, I'm driving in there and I see this is going on. And I said, "Lord, right now I release the blessing. I trust you for a parking space right now." And as soon as I said that, someone backed out and I pulled right in. I mean, right there. Everybody else was frustrated. Amen. But see, the blessing will create favorable outcomes for you.
Amen.
But see, it doesn't, if you're a Christian, legally speaking, the blessing of Abraham is yours, but it doesn't just fall on you like ripe cherries off a tree. You have to have the power of faith to believe that I'm a blessing magnet. Amen?
Amen?
That everywhere I go, blessings are attracted to me. Amen? That's not to say that I'm some big hotshot or something. It's not that at all. It's because of Jesus. Jesus became a curse. You know, when Jesus, he walked in the blessing of Abraham. Oh, yeah, he did. And whenever he needed something, it was there for him. Remember he needed a donkey? it was there for them. When they needed food, it was there for them. When they needed the wine multiplied at the wedding feast, remember that? It was multiplied. He was a blessing magnet. He is our prototype. He is the one that we look to say, that's Jesus. He became the curse that we might become the blessing. Amen. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself here. But notice in verse 33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God. So that means you could seek him second, right? You could seek him third, fourth. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, natural things, things you wear, things you eat, things you drive, everything, shall be added unto you. Well, Pastor Keith, I've never seen that happen to me. People get all weird about that kind of stuff. That's never. Listen, there's a first time for everything.
Amen.
Do you know that? There's a first time you was born. Amen? There's a first time you drove a car. Hopefully not the last time. First time you went to school. Amen? First time for everything, right? Well, don't let that scare you from what the Bible says rightfully belongs to you. Just because someone has a Christian has an experience, what the Bible's talking about, doesn't mean that it's not true. And so it's really important that we understand if we seek first the kingdom of God. So I wanted to wrap this up today. If Jesus said we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I simply asked this question. I did this many years ago. How do I do that? If he says I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then I need to know how to do that. Are you with me now? The word kingdom means this, the domain of the king. For example, there are kingdoms today, United Kingdom, okay? And there's a ruler over that kingdom, all right? And when we say seek first the kingdom of God, that is anything that the king has dominion over, amen? We saw that, in fact, Josh just read this scripture up here with the offering that correlated perfectly for when we're giving because it comes out of our spirit. Amen. The first thing we have to do is if we're going to seek first the kingdom of God, we have to locate where the kingdom is. And real quickly, you don't have to turn there, but in Luke 17, verse 21, Jesus said, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. The domain of the king, where? He's on the inside of you. So if we're going to seek first the kingdom of God, first of all, number one, if you're taking notes, we have to locate where the kingdom is, and that's on the inside of us after you become a child of God. All right? And the kingdom of God is a powerful thing because that's where Jesus lives. He lives inside of us. His spirit lives and dwells on the inside of us. Now, you remember I was mentioning about the fact of John the Baptist. You know, he was the last prophet that came on the scene prior to the Lord Jesus, right at the same time of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the other ones like Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the other prophets, they weren't around when Jesus was born. That was prior to his birth, okay, his incarnation. But here comes John the Baptist, and Jesus makes this statement regarding him. He says, among prophets, John was a prophet, you know that. He said, there's no greater than John the Baptist. He's given his stamp of approval to John the Baptist, right? He said, there's been no other prophet, all the prophets from Genesis up to this time, there's never been a greater prophet than the prophet John the Baptist, right? Then they didn't stop there. He says, however, he that is in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now, what does that mean? Well, the new covenant, the New Testament, didn't start until Jesus was raised from the dead. John the Baptist, all the apostles, prior to the death, burial, and resurrection, they had the Spirit of God come upon them, but he was not in them. And that's why God says through the prophets in Jeremiah and Isaiah, he says, the time's going to come. I'm going to take out the old stony heart. I'm going to put a heart of flesh on the inside of you. There's going to be a living union. And that's why the Bible says our bodies are now the temples of the Holy Spirit. Every time I say that, my body's... Sometimes I'll just walk around and be honest with you, and I'll just say that over and over and over again. Especially if you're dealing with stuff. You ever deal with stuff? You know what I'm talking about? Am I in the right place this morning? Dealing with stuff. Well, that's the time that you have to acknowledge greater is he that's on the inside of me than he that's in the world. Amen. And sometimes you got to say it over and over and over and over again because you got this outside pressure dealing with your head, right? Oh, yeah, you know what it's like. Those thoughts coming against you, those negative thoughts coming against you, those wrong images in your mind. How do you battle that stuff? Well, you battle it with acknowledging that which is on the inside of you. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And sometimes I'll say, I don't even count. I just do it. Greater is he. 1 John 4:4 is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The greater one, the mighty one, the powerful one lives on the inside of me. Well, why do you do that, Brother Keith? Just to psych yourself up? No. When you do that, you release the greater one to go do a greater work for you so you don't fail. Amen? Amen? Folks, we got a covenant with Almighty God. Amen. And we don't have to walk around with our chins touching the ground and look like we've been baptized in lemon juice. Sourpuss face. Long, sad. You know, like Eeyore the donkey. What? Talking like that, you know. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, Winnie the Pooh. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all been there. He always has that whine in his voice, doesn't he? Well, a lot of believers are like that. Not around here, though. Amen? Amen. Hey, how's it going? That's all right. Are you healed? No. I'm starting to meddle here. But notice, how do we seek first the kingdom of God? First of all, number one, locate where the kingdom is. Say, the kingdom of God is within me.
The kingdom of God is within
me. Amen. Jesus never told us to get religious and get education. Okay? Nothing wrong with education. But, you know, if all you think about is your intellect and education, that's going to get in the way of faith. Okay? But he says right here, the kingdom of God is within you. Number two, how do we seek first the kingdom of God? Is now that we've located where the kingdom is, if you're a child of God, the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. The king's domain, that's where he lives. Well, not complicated. He lives on the inside of us. Amen? And when I walk into a mall, I walk into a grocery store, I walk on the street, or if I'm with anybody, I'm not just conscious of me being there. Amen? Some people are just self-conscious. Amen? Some people are just unconscious. But other people are God-conscious. We all know what it's like to be self-conscious, right? Do I look all right? Is everything all right? Everything cool? You know? That's only going to get us so far. But if we're God-conscious, that takes all insecurity and just annihilates it. Listen, in the flesh, all of us have certain insecurities in the flesh. We feel like we don't match up sometimes. Amen? Could be education, could be your look, could be anything. But we all have those things that try to come at us, right? But the way that we eradicate those things in our lives is to realize, you know what? I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. God lives on the inside of me, and everywhere I go, God goes. So I'm a blessing going somewhere to happen, and someone is about to get blessed today. If I come in contact with someone today, they're going to encounter God. Not just Brother Keith, because Brother Keith doesn't have a whole lot to offer. But in Christ Jesus, that connection with the anointing, I'm a blessing going somewhere to happen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, someone that doesn't understand it will think, he's the most egotistical person I've ever heard in my life. We're not talking about ego. We're not talking about pride. We're talking about God consciousness. God consciousness. Hallelujah. And I tell you, I could stand here for an hour or two and tell you story after story after story where I walked into chaos in people's lives and situations. But I just got done meditating on the fact that He lives, the kingdom of God's within me. He is in me. He wants to help those people. And so you look within you. And it never fails to come out somehow to help someone. You know, Jesus wants to help people. Amen. There's a lot of hurting people out there. Have you found that out? Amen. There's a lot of hurting people out there. And they need what you and I have. You are the temple. Remember that movie, The Raiders of the Lost Ark? Remember that? You know, and they opened that lid and, I mean, all hell broke loose. Remember that? Do you remember that?
Yep.
Well, listen. That tabernacle, that holy of holies, is where God used to live. He doesn't live there anymore. He left there a long time ago. And now the Bible says, that's why when Jesus was crucified, the curtain that separated the common people from the presence of God was ripped from top to bottom, that curtain. Josephus, a Jewish historian, said that curtain was 20 feet high, 40 feet long, and 4 inches thick. And an angel came down there, whoosh, ripped that thing out, and there was an earthquake. And now the presence of God left that tabernacle, and now those that are His, He dwells now on the inside of us.
Amen.
Say, my body,
is God's temple.
Amen. Oh, man, I preached myself happy already. Seriously. To just recite that over and over. Sometimes I'll just lay on my bed or my couch or something, and I'll be daydreaming in the Holy Ghost. You know, that's a good thing to do. And I'll just lay back there. Oh, man, hallelujah. And just take a scripture and pour it over and over and over and over in your mind. And there's an image that's starting to build on the inside when you do that. You just take one verse of scripture. You know what I mean? I mean, I've seen this happen with people with lawsuits and different things where all hell was coming against them, you know, and they take a scripture and they meditate on the scripture. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And you get an inner image on the inside of you of what God is saying about you rather than this outside voice that comes from the docks, you know, from your neighbors, enemies, relatives. You know what I'm talking about. So, first of all, how do we seek first the kingdom of God? We locate where the kingdom is. Number one, it's on the inside of us. Number two, we build up our inner man, all right, the inward man. We saw that the way that we build up our inward man is by prayer and by the Word of God, okay? And today, in fact, you're in church, your inward man, I'm like a big chef, okay? Not the big hat, but I'm giving out to you spiritual food under the anointing of the Holy Ghost so that you can grow, so that you can develop, and so that you can get a hold of these things, overcome in life. Amen? And so as you build up, you know, you take scriptures and you build up your inner man, you feed on the Word of God. That's spiritual food is the Word of God. You know, you have natural food that builds up your body, and we need that, correct? But, you know, you can never overindulge on spiritual food or the Word of God. You can't overeat on the Bible. Say, well, there's a spiritual glutton. No, it's okay. It's okay. Amen? But the third thing that we want to talk about here today in conclusion here, so we talked about you have to locate. How do you seek first the kingdom? You locate where the kingdom is. Number two, you build up your inner man, your spirit man, by prayer and the Word of God. And the more you do that, the stronger you become. Brother Wigglesworth said that and he raised over 24 people from the dead, you know, 6 foot under. Okay? That's 24 more than me. I can tell you that right now. Not that God's not going to do that. Amen. I believe he'll do these things in the last days. But he said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. And if you study him and videos about him and books about him, you'll see that here's a man that esteemed and valued the Word of God above everything else. The Word was priority. Not man's opinion, but the Word of God. So, number three, how do we seek first the kingdom of God? Go over to Luke chapter 10 again. We're going to look at this. We saw this the last couple of weeks. I'm excited about this. My goodness. Ever since prior to the first of the year, you know, I've had such an expectation and anticipation. And you know, the devil don't like that when you get this revelation. He'll try everything in the world to get you discouraged. You know what I mean? To get you back off the Word of God. I'm telling you. Amen? But we ain't going to do it around here, are we?
No.
Thank you, Jesus. But the third way that we seek first the kingdom of God is we value and we esteem what God says in His Word. Okay? We saw this in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. It says, "Now it came to pass that as they went, that He entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, heard His word." Notice that. "And Martha was cumbered or troubled about with much serving, and came to Him and said, 'Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she come and help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha.'" Notice that again. "Thou art careful and troubled about many things." Say many things. We would say it like this. Martha had a troubled heart. She's always troubled about something. If it ain't this, it's that. If it ain't that, it's this. You know what I mean? Troubled heart. There is a cure for that. Aren't you glad? But He said in verse 42, "But one thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good part that shall not be taken away from her." We saw this in the last couple of weeks that here you got two sisters, Martha and Mary. Their brother was Lazarus that was raised from the dead. And so this is Martha's house, and so they invited Jesus Christ to come over for a dinner. All right, so He agreed obviously to come to their house, and as He comes in, Martha is in the kitchen preparing the meal, while Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to His word. But Martha's perception was the wrong perception. She was a task-driven person. There's nothing wrong with getting tasks accomplished, but we can't be so task-driven that we don't have time to hear the Master. Are you with me? She starts to get an attitude about it. And so she's huffing and puffing in the kitchen, and she walks in, finally interrupts their conversation, you know, and she says, "Jesus, bid," that's a nice way of saying, "tell my lazy bone sister to come and get in this kitchen and help me prepare this meal." And she's standing there probably like this, you know, with her hips, her hands on her hips. "Come on, get that lazy bone sister," you know, and she was really thinking that Jesus was going to back her up. She was thinking, "My sister has a lazy problem." And you know, it's funny because there are people that think you're a slothful person if you sit home and you read your Bible and you pray. There are people, that Christians, that will make light of that. "You need to be out doing something. Come on, put your hand to something, do something." There's nothing wrong with doing something if that's what God wants you to do. Okay? But just to be busy doing something, you can sit on a bicycle, or you can walk on a treadmill, you can exercise and sweat your buns off, but you ain't going nowhere. You're staying in the same place. Amen? So what we have to do is we have to put ourselves, and she literally thought that Jesus was going to back her sister up and say, "All right, now, Martha, or Mary, you've had enough time with me. Go help your sister in the kitchen right now." But that's not what happened. It backfired on her. Praise God it did. Because we have that scripture to go to now and look at it. Amen? And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are troubled about many things. Not just this issue. You've got other issues that you're dealing with. You have a troubled heart." How does a person have a troubled heart? I'll tell you exactly how. We get our eyes off of the Word of God. We get our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we get our eyes on the doctor's report, we get our eyes on the news media, we get our eyes on ISIS and the things that are going around in the world right now, then you will be, we're going to see this in a minute here, you will be full of fear and unbelief. Because that's the way the world system is going. You have to understand, back in the days of Jesus, and there was no news media. There was no radios. There was no televisions. There was no internet. Although there was bad news, it's way more amplified today. If right now, if you just got on your smartphone, I used to have a dumb phone, now I got a smart one. But if you get on your phone and you go on CNN or Fox News or one of the major news networks, when it comes up to the front page, you know what you're going to see? Bad news. You're going to see bad news. That's all you're going to see for the most part. 99.9% of the news you're going to see, or the local news. What are you going to see? Bad stuff that's happening. Who killed so-and-so? Who was just shot? That's right. They report bad news. That's all they do. Good news doesn't sell. All right, so here's Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. Now, we brought up last week that there are some characteristics about Martha that we need to understand as believers, because we all have a little Martha on the inside of us. Sometimes I have to say, I rebuke you, Martha. Never said that before, but the principle, you understand what I'm saying. And that is this: Martha was driven by pressure and fear of being taken advantage of and accused and blamed her sister. Are you with me now? She was driven by pressure and fear of being taken advantage of and accused and blamed her sister. Wow, isn't that something? I wonder how Mary felt that day, you know? She didn't speak up or anything, but Jesus came to her rescue. Amen? And when you do what Mary does, Jesus will always come to your rescue. When you sit at His feet and you hear His word, oh, praise God, Jesus will come to your rescue when you need it. Amen? Some of you need to hear that here this morning. Right, February 1st, right smack in the middle of winter, when it's nasty and ugly outside, you need to hear that today. Jesus will come to your rescue. She was also task-driven, and she was troubled about many things. So this wasn't the first time she was upset. She was upset. Have you ever known people that are upset about everything all the time? They're always upset about something? Okay. Y'all know some people like that? Yeah, it just drains you. It drains you. It takes the life out of you. But Mary valued and esteemed Jesus' words. She had an attentive listening ear. Okay? All right, Pastor Keith. Now, does that mean if I sit down and I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying, what's that going to do with that stack of bills laying over there? I can speak from experience. I know what I'm talking about. Okay? And those bills have a voice. Oh, yeah. You know, that doctor's report has a voice. I know. All right? But that's not the final authority. Can we just get real this morning? That's not the... That lawyer's accusation or whatever is going on, that's not the final say-so. They have a voice. Oh, yeah, they have a voice. All their legal teams, they have a voice. But let me tell you, that's not the last voice. Amen. God has a voice. Yes. Hallelujah. And Mary, it'll seem as if when you're spending time with God, you're setting this time aside. The devil will lie to your mind and say, you're wasting your time. You're not doing anything. That's the spirit of Martha. And that devil will come and try to tell us in our ears, you could be out doing this. You could be doing that. Brother Kenneth Hagin said this before. I love this. He shared this story in, when he was pastoring his church. This is way back in the early days of his ministry. He found out from the Word of God that it was beneficial and it was profitable to pray in other tongues, to pray in the Spirit, to build up your inner man. And there's major, major benefits to praying in the Spirit. In other words, you pray the will of God perfectly every time. You build up your inner man, that says, by praying in the Holy Ghost in Jude 20. I mean, it's a flawless prayer because it's God using, He's speaking through your vocal cords, but He's praying back to the Father the perfect will of God. And so he decided to one day to take an hour to pray in other tongues. I'll never forget him sharing this. And I like to follow people that are successful. Amen? And these men have great success in the earth. And he said, he prayed and it seemed like it was an hour. And he looked at his little watch and it was 15 minutes. He said, man, my tongue was dry. My mind was wandering. And I prayed, and I thought, surely it's been an hour. And it was only 15 minutes. And finally, he another 45 minutes went by, and he got to the hour. And then he said the devil spoke to him, spoke to his mind, and said, you just wasted an hour of your time, Kenneth. The devil spoke to him and said that. You just wasted an hour of your time. You could have been out visiting the people. You could have been out doing the church work here and doing this thing there. But I love his tenacity. He said, I'll tell you what, Mr. Devil. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to pray another hour in the Spirit. So he got through that other hour. 2 hours went by, okay? And after the second hour, the devil came to him again. All right? Anybody ever hear this testimony before? The devil came to him again, not audibly, you know, but in his thinking. He said, you just wasted another hour. You could have been out visiting. He was a pastor. You could have been out visiting the people. You could have been out doing this, doing that. Good deeds. You know what I'm saying? And he said, I'll tell you what, Mr. Devil. He goes, I'm going to sit down here, and I'm going to pray another hour in other tongues instead of giving up. Because the devil's persistent. He'll come and say, you're wasting your time. You're praying like that, going to church. You're wasting your time. Let me tell you something. You're not wasting your time. And he prayed, and this process kept going on. Finally, he prayed in the Spirit that day. He never did this before. He said, he read scriptures about if you pray in an unknown tongue, you're not speaking to men, you're speaking unto God. You're speaking to God. He said, around the fifth hour of praying in other tongues, he said, I hit a gusher. That's the word he used, like in the oil days when they, you know, like Jed Clampett. He said, I hit a gusher. And he says, I'll tell you, he said, everything in the natural said, quit praying, stop praying, you're bored, your mouth is dry, don't do it anymore. He said, all of a sudden in the spirit realm, after right around the fifth hour, he said, he hit a spiritual gusher. And he said, just rivers of water flowed up out of him. And then he said, revelation came to him. And he said, at the end of World War II, at the close of World War II, there's going to come a divine, the Spirit of God spoke to him, said, there's going to come a divine, an outpouring of divine healing throughout America. And he said, you will be a major part of this among other people. Now, do you remember if you've heard, know anything about biblical history, there was a healing revival that took place in the 40s and 50s. Remember that? Oral Roberts, Jack Coe, A.A. Allen, and many, many other people that were in the voice of healing. Brother Branham and all these different people. I think there was a total of like 40 or 50 of them that God used. There was tent revivals and things. There was major healings that were taking place throughout America. I mean, major healings. And he said he saw something that day that he broke something in the realm of the Spirit. That when he hit that fifth hour and he prayed in tongues, now he didn't always do that, but he said he learned something that day. He said from that moment forward, he said this, he said it was easy to, I could get in the Spirit within a matter of a few minutes in prayer. Now that doesn't mean spooky and weird and you're floating around, you know, like some weird person. But you're more in contact with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I saw, as I've heard him share that testimony countless times. I can't even tell you how many times he said that. But I thought, what if he wasn't persistent at that time because of the type of ministry that God led him into, the healing ministry? And there was millions of people that were healed under Brother Kenneth Hagin. I mean, millions. And to this day, there are still people being healed through his books and his audio tapes, because that never dies. You know, these people that have moved to heaven, they have materials that are here. There's still an anointing on that. Just like Elijah's bones were in the ground, there was still enough anointing in them. When they threw that dead person on his bones, he was resurrected. Yeah. And so there's residue. There's an anointing that's on the inside of these materials that are still there. You know, you read a book from Smith Wigglesworth or one of these guys or John G. Lake. You know, these are old timers, but man, they knew God. And we can learn something from that. Amen. Hallelujah. So Mary, she valued and esteemed the words of Jesus. Now we're going to close here. If you go to Proverbs, the fourth chapter. In Proverbs chapter 4, I want you to see this and we'll wrap this up here today. Say the word esteem. Esteem simply means this. It means to hold at high value. Okay? Esteem means to place priority on, to put first. And we see something here in Proverbs, the fourth chapter. This is in the New Living Translation, by the way. I like this translation, but it says in verse 20, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they will bring life to those that find them." And notice this, "and healing to their entire body." Do you see what the word will do right there? And then finally, verse 23, it says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Wow. Is that an amazing scripture or what? King James says, "My son, attend to my words." That means put first. Someone walks up to you in the street and they say, "Hey, you want to grab a cup of coffee or get some lunch together?" You say, "Well, you know, I'd love to do that, but I have some other business that I have to attend to." It's not that you don't want to do it with them, but you have something else that's more important. And when he says, "My son, attend to my words," God's saying this. In other words, put God's word first. "Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them," my words, "not depart from thine eyes. For they are," my words, he says, "are life to those that find them. And it's health and healing to," how much of your flesh? The Hebrew says it's medicine. Medicine to all your flesh. There's a book called God's Medicine. A little mini book. Brother Hagin wrote it. God's Medicine. Amen. Now, as I said, we're talking about putting the kingdom of God first. The best way that you can put God's kingdom first is to esteem what God says first and foremost. Not what Uncle Charlie says. Not what Aunt Betty says. Not what preacher so-and-so says. What does God say? That's why, you know, I'm very careful about this, that when we preach, that we're not just giving opinions out. That's dangerous to do that. As a minister, I want to back up what I'm saying with the Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of God. You can wrongly divide the Word of God, too. You can make it say something it doesn't even say. Do you know that? You know, there's a scripture that says Judas went and hanged himself. Right? There's another scripture that says, "Go thou and do likewise." So you could take two different scriptures, put them together, and prove you should go hang yourself. We know that's not right. What is that? That's wrongly dividing the Word of God. But when you rightly divide the Word of God, you look at the Scripture before, you look at the Scripture after, you look at the context of what is being said right there. And in Proverbs chapter 4 is the recipe for divine health in our physical bodies. Seeking first the kingdom of God. "My son, attend to my words." Put my words first. "Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes." So you got, here's your avenues, doorways, if you will, for the Word of God to get into your life to change you through your eye gate and through your ear gate. What you see and what you hear. John Osteen, you know, Joel Osteen's dad, you know, that started Lakewood Church. He got up there in his southern voice. He said, "I'll tell you all what." He said, "Most of you went through 10 and 15 crises in the last month that I never went through." And he said, "Well," they're thinking, "what do you mean?" He goes, "Because you spend all your time watching CNN and ABC and CBS and all those things that choke the Word of God. I didn't meditate on that. I didn't listen to that." That's not being ignorant of what's going on in the world, but we should be selective about what we hear. You know, that's really important. Let's camp on that as we close here today. During the course of a week, what type of words are we listening to? And you, when you weigh and balance, like, okay, what am I hearing the news 80% of the time, but only maybe 10% of the Word of God? Well, I look at myself because there was a time, to be honest with you, Pastor Keith was addicted to the news. Yep, I confess my faults. I was addicted to the news because I was always interested in what was going on, and I put on that Fox News. Man, I'd be watching that and watching that. And all of a sudden, I couldn't get away from it. I had to watch this show and then watch this show, you know what I mean? And before you know it, 3 hours go by. Are you with me now? And my flesh was liking this. My flesh was loving this for whatever reason. I don't know. It's stupid. And I thought, what am I doing? I'm sitting here wasting. I'm not saying it's wrong to watch the news. Don't throw any stones this morning. But okay, I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. But I'm saying if we're putting most of our effort and time, our eyes and our ears on the news media, we're going to hear how corrupt and how bad the government is. We know there's junk going on there. That's no surprise to us. But why should we keep feeding that, putting, instead of, you know, we should throw water on the fire, not gasoline. Because there are people that are so anxious about what's going on with the government. What's going on? What's going on? That's not going to do us any good. But I'll tell you what we can do is we can pray. We can believe God. We can vote. And the rest, we don't have any business messing with it. Because you know why worry about something that you cannot change? The only person you can change is yourself. Amen? And no government's going to run our lives. I'll tell you that right now. Amen? I don't care how corrupt and stuff they get. They are not going to control our lives in the name of Jesus. Amen. We can change. Amen. We can change the course of this country, amen, by our prayers and our faith. Yes. I'll tell you that right now. But I wanted to say that to say this, that we're responsible for our own lives, our ear gates and our eye gates. What are we putting in? Okay? I'll tell you, every single night before we go to bed, Lynn will pull out that Bible and she will start quoting. I mean, never fails, never fails. Okay? And she will quote the 91st Psalm. Amen. She does it in the morning, does it. I mean, we could be so tired. But she'll pull it out here. Here we go, Keith. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God. And I'm telling you, there have been many of things that have passed us by that could have caused issues. I'm telling you. But when you give heed to the Word of God, all right? And it takes some discipline to do that. Your flesh isn't going to like it. Let's just be honest. Our flesh doesn't like it. Our flesh is like a little child. Just give me some candy. Yeah, a little kid, if that's all they want is sweets and stuff. Well, you know, if you keep doing that, there are going to be some issues. Are you with me? And our flesh is like that sometimes. It just wants candy and sweets. You know what I mean? Our flesh. Not literally. But I'm saying we just want our flesh to be entertained. But let me tell you something. When you sit down and you take some time out and you mark it on your little daytime and you say, this is the next 30 minutes or 15 minutes, whatever you decide, I'm going to take this time and I'm going to honor God today. You are setting yourself up for heaven's best to come to you. Can I expect God to give me His best when I'm not even giving Him any part of my life? Of course not. See, that's the problem. A lot of Christians, they want God's best, but they don't want to do what God says. Amen? But when we do what God says and we spend time with Him and we fellowship with Him, that time will become sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And I mean, you don't even want to miss it. Best time of my day is when I'm spending time with the Lord. Because that determines the rest of my day, the rest of my week, how things are going to go. Oh, praise God. And I feel the Holy Ghost is beckoning us and wooing us and drawing us as a congregation to encourage you to make. I'm not talking about getting religious. I'm talking about you and throne time, God time, where you're with Him. You can spend time with God in your car driving down the road. Doesn't have to be in a church. You don't have to be on your knees. You can if you want. But you can talk to God, pray to Him, fellowship with Him. He'll talk back to you. Start out where you're at. Start out with 5 minutes a day if you're not used to that. Take a walk. Get out in the fresh air. You know? Hello, God. How are you today? Hi, Father. I wouldn't call him God. I'd call him Father. He's your Father. To the world, he's God. But to us, he's Father. Abba, Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you, that fear and that garbage that comes against you, it'll just roll off you like water off a duck's back. It won't be able to stick on you for any reason. All that care, that worry, that fear. You know what I'm saying? That stuff won't be able to stick. It'll have to go. You won't be like Velcro anymore. When those cares come, instead of, oh, I can't get rid of these things, man. Those things will come and just slide right off you. That's right. Fiery darts, all that bad news and so forth and so on. See, all the devil has is fear. That's all he has. And his only avenue to get to you and I is to use fear to come at us. This is probably the most important news you will ever hear this year in this church right now. Okay? We take heed what we see and we take heed what we hear. Don't put movies on that have a bunch of junk in it. Okay? Are you with me now? Need I say more? You want your eyes to look on pure things, holy things. Amen? Amen. Not a bunch of junk that's going on in the world today. That's why the devil, I mean, he knows, he's trying to bombard he's using media to bombard our eyes and our ears. That's what he's trying to use. Through the media, through the news media, through movies and so forth and so on. Trying to use that stuff to get to our hearts. Praise God. But I don't know about you, but there's something in me rebels against that stuff. And it's a good thing. Because I don't want to be like a chameleon and just fit in with everybody else and do what everybody else is doing. I want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. And when the devil comes against me, there's some power in there to rebuke him and to get rid of him.
Amen.
And not just to get wiped out. Oh. That when sickness or disease tries to come against your body, you have the power of God on the inside to say, no, you don't, devil. You ain't crossing this line anymore in my house.
Amen.
Amen? I'm taking my flu shot today. You know what that is? The Word of God.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. Are you preaching against taking shots? No. But take the Word of God. Put it on the inside of you when you're feeling well. Don't wait till you're sick.
Amen.
Put it inside. By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I was healed. In fact, don't even say I'm going to be healed. That's unbelief. Say, brother, I'm believing God for this. That's unbelief. We'll get into that next series. Okay? The Lord opened my eyes to some of this stuff. We trip ourselves up by saying, I will be, I am going to be, this, thus, and such, okay? That's future. Faith is always right now.
Amen.
Now faith is. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is. What's on either side of faith? Now is. Both of those words are present tense words. What's God's name to Moses? What was his name?
I am.
I am. He didn't say I was. I will be. He says, Moses said, who can I tell them send me if I go to the Egyptians? What is his name? He says, I am that I am. Oh, that's present tense. I'm not, he didn't say I was, I will be. He says, I am. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am your healer. I am your deliverer. And what we say about God in the present tense is what sticks to us. When I say, by his stripes, I am healed. Whew, I take it now. I receive it. The power of God shoots into my body and drives out that pain and that sickness, whatever it is. Because it's health and it's healing to all their flesh. This might be healing school today. That's all right. But I'm saying the Word of God in your spirit will heal your body,
Amen.
Heal your mind, heal your finances, heal your relationships. That Word on the inside of us, the incorruptible, undefiled Word of God that will change circumstances around us. You will never, ever, ever, ever have another board day in your walk with Christ when you believe that He is and He is right now.
Amen.
Well, Pastor, I'm believing God that He's going to do that. No, you're not. You're not believing God. You're not believing God. When you say, I'm trusting you, I'm believing Him to do something, that means He hasn't done it yet. Did Jesus come down, die on the cross, went to hell? Was He resurrected for you?
Yeah.
That already happened, didn't it? So when you lead someone to Christ, does Jesus have to come jump down out of heaven? It's a long jump, you know. Come down, get on the cross again, die, go to hell for... No, He doesn't have to do that again. He already did that. It's a finished work. It is finished. So our part in that is to say, any sinner just has to say, I believe that. And then what happens? Oh, it sticks to them. I'm saved. All right? It's the same thing with healing. It's the same thing with wealth transfer coming into our lives. I am rich because of Jesus. Not because of anything I did. I am healed by His stripes. Folks, I know what this is like. This to receive in the midst of bad news and stuff going on, and then your body's talking to you too, has a voice. But when you say, I am healed by His stripes, what happens? You, by you saying, acknowledging the present tense. He's present tense. Now faith is. It's not will be. It's not was. It's right now. I am that I am. He is the great I am right now. When are we healed? Right now. When are we prosperous and rich? Right now. Well, could have fooled me, Brother Keith. Look at my bank account. Don't look at your bank account. Look at the Bible. Look at what the Bible has to say. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is good news today, by the way. Do you know that?
Yes.
This is good news.
Amen.
I'm not just hyping you up, you know, and trying to juice you up a little bit here. No, 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 no. Get evangelistical. That's not what I'm trying to do. But I'm telling you, you can't help but get excited, truly excited, when you believe what God's Word says. That's what God said in Isaiah. Who hath believed our report? In Isaiah 53. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And then it says, by His stripes we're healed. God is saying, who's going to believe my report? The sacrifice, the price that I paid for you. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Anybody that's in this room right now that has any symptoms of any disease or sickness or pain in your body, stand up right now. The power of God is going to, right now, be released into your physical body. In the spirit this morning, as I was praying in the spirit, I saw something with the sinuses up in here. I saw those canals and so forth, some problems with sinuses. And the Lord has already, He wanted me to share that, release that, because as I said that, your healing is taking place right now in that area. All right? So, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I release the healing power of God now in the name of Jesus into the church, into those that are standing right now. Satan, infirmity and sickness and disease, I command you to go. Be gone, dissipate, leave this place now. Leave these temples of the Holy Ghost now in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of Jesus over every one of the ones that are here right now, Father. We receive, we believe we receive the healing power of God flowing like a river right now. Say this after me. Say, I am healed right now. By His stripes. I'm free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're a receiver. Now it's yours. Oh, thank you, Lord. Now everybody can stand up. Thank you, Father. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Whew. Thank you, Father. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. So this week as you go, even today, you go, you say, you keep saying over and over and over. That's what meditation on the Word is. I am healed. I am healed. Don't focus on the problem. Don't focus on the pain. All right? Don't focus on the thing that's not working. Focus on the solution. He is the solution. And you keep saying over and over, I am healed. I am healed. I am healed. Pain shoots through your leg. Oh. You say, I am healed. I am. Because you're focusing on the solution, the Word of God. Okay? And you fight through those emotions that says you're not. And you say, no, I am. I was. 2,000 years ago, Jesus took my infirmities, took my sick, bare my sicknesses, and with His stripes, I'm healed. Praise the Lord. Well, be blessed this week. Go in faith. Go in the blessing of the Lord. Amen. And we'll see you next time. Amen. Bless you.